Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for what you do in people's lives. And I bring before you my thanks for the people that have come here tonight. But Lord, you know there's a kind of a coldness about us, and there's a kind of something a little different that we're not used to. And so, Father, we pray that you would break through all these things around us. And Lord, we pray that you would stand up against the powers of darkness that try and stop us from even rejoicing in Jesus. Lord, we pray for that help to come from above. We pray that the Holy Spirit would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that every life would be touched by you. Lord, not by us, but by you. Lord, we're a little bit, some of us are a little bit, somehow, I don't know why, but we're a little bit sensitive of each other, a little bit shy or something. But Lord, we ask you to overcome that. We pray you'll break through it and speak to us. Lord, it would be really wonderful if we felt that we were the only ones in the room and you were speaking to us, Lord. What a wonderful message that would be. And we pray for something like that to come to our hearts. Also, Lord, some are not feeling well. We pray you would help them and bless them and quicken them. And some have worked really hard today and they're tired. We pray you will bless them and be close to them and make them glad that they took the effort to come. Lord, now we pray for the Holy Spirit to magnify the Lord. We pray and ask this for that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this wonderful thing that God has done, I want to talk about tonight. I just want to speak for a little while on the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's ask ourselves some questions. Why was it necessary? Why was it necessary that God had to come into the human race like this? What made it so important that such an amazing thing should happen? For example, as I said recently, and the Bible says that God made us. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so he did. Male and female made he them. But now this is something else that is happening. God is being made in our likeness because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. He was the Word in the beginning, and he was with God. Now, let me explain quickly. There is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is one God. Equal, same nature, and we cannot divide between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in terms of their nature and who they are, but in their offices and the things they do. Of course, there are many divisions. Now, it was not the Father that died on the cross. It was the Son that died on the cross. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they said at the beginning that they were going to make this man and this woman. But you know what happened. Sin came into the world. Satan brought sin into the world, basic disobedience, rebellion against God, and these who had been born in the light, made in the light, now find themselves in the darkness. These who had been made to fellowship and be with God forever now find themselves separated from God. These who had such a love in their hearts for God, they are now afraid of Him. And this all happened because of sin. Now, if you were a philosopher, you could sit down and start talking with your friends about how sin could be dealt with. Because a sin has to be dealt with. Now, people have tried to deal with sin. Some people make monuments, or they make idols, and they think that will satisfy God. Other people build churches. They think that will satisfy God. Some people hurt themselves. They think that will satisfy God. But there was nothing that would satisfy God. Nothing could satisfy God for sin because of its depth, because of what it really means, and because only God could do something about this problem. Now, what do you think He did? Because no human mind would ever think of God becoming like His creatures and then dying for them. Nobody would ever get that idea into their head. They'd say, no, that's utterly ridiculous. That would never happen. How can you do that? But that's exactly what happened. The Word was made flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, the ability and the understanding to know God. Grace, the power to know God. And truth, so you might know who God is. Some people follow false gods. Some people follow God and it's not God. Some people say, I am of Christ, and they're not of Christ. Some people say, I am Christ, and they're wrong. But we know the truth. And because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. And now we have a picture. I hope you understand that this is what, and down through the centuries, ever since, God said in the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That's the first mention that was made in eternity of the person of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, coming to be a redeemer, to deal with the devil, to deal with sin, and to save us. Now, down through the centuries, because of the Bible, we see so many wonderful things. God gave a great law, and it's summed up in the Ten Commandments. He gave this law. And you say, well, why did He give us the law? He gave us the law so that we might see His righteousness, His requirements, and then we might learn there's no way that we can satisfy God. There's no way we can satisfy God. By trying to keep all these laws, how can we satisfy God? How can we love God with all our heart when we love ourselves so much? How can we love our neighbor as ourselves when we're always above our neighbor? And if you have, the Bible says that if you offend God in one point, you are guilty of all. Now, this law was to show us. So down through the centuries, God said to Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus walked the earth, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. People said, how can a virgin conceive? How can a virgin have a child? Everybody knows that's not possible. And then Isaiah went on to say, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They say, how can a child be God? How can a child be the Everlasting Father? You see the amazing wisdom of God. You see the depth of the revelation. You remember when the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling back to his queen Candace in Ethiopia, and he was standing in his chariot reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and it says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And he said to Philip, God sent Philip to speak to him, and he said to Philip, who does the prophet speak of here? Somebody who was wounded for our transgressions. Does he speak of himself or of some other man? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And so this is what happened. This is what happened. What God was preparing, all these things. He was preparing them. If you look at the last verse of the book of Genesis, you'll see that where the people ended up after all those hundreds of years, it says, in a coffin in Egypt. Those are the last words in the book of Genesis. The last words of the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, it finishes with a curse. But something happened. Something happened. Did you know that between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, there was 400 years of complete silence from heaven? Nobody heard anything. No prophet spoke. Nobody heard. 400 years. Not 40 years. Not 4 years. 400 years. And then all this happened, what we've been talking about tonight, when Jesus was born into the world. So after 400 years, the angel began to speak. People began to have dreams. Some people saw a star in the east, and they began to follow it. You know, we believe that those wise men, well, some scholars believe that they could have come from Iran and even further away, and that the reason why Herod had the children from up until 2 years of age killed was because they must have told him, we have been traveling for 2 years to get here. It's taken us 2 years to get here. And so he thinks, right, so 2 years ago that baby might have been born. But it wasn't, of course. So now, the birth of Jesus Christ was like this. As Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, Joseph was her husband. By that I mean, he was engaged to Mary. He was going to marry her, but in those days, an engagement was like a wedding. The people didn't live together, but the bond between the man and the woman was as strong in the engagement as it was in the wedding. That was the way it was, and it was a good idea, wasn't it? So anyway, he was espoused to her, and what happened here? Before, the Bible says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't have time tonight to go over every little thing, but I want you to see all the wonderful things that point to how careful God is to declare that this child was conceived of a virgin, and not according to man, but according to God. Because this is what happened. Before they came together, the Bible says that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, he was a just man, and he thought, well, I'm going to put her away privately. He wasn't trying to hurt her, but he says, I didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't have anything to do with this. She's pregnant. But you see how God is telling us? Joseph, a just man, a good man. He says, Mary's pregnant, but I didn't have anything to do with it. So that's one point. When the angel spoke to Mary, Mary immediately said, well, how can this be? I know not a man. Now, isn't that wonderful? This little girl said, this is not possible. How could it be? Because I don't know a man. So there's Joseph saying, I didn't have anything to do with it. Mary's saying, I've never been near a man. So how can this be? And the angel said that the Holy Ghost, he spoke to Joseph in a dream, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. But what he said to Mary was, the power of the highest shall come upon thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now let me show you how particular the Word of God is. That holy thing. Why do you say thing? Why did he say thing? Because it had not yet happened. Because it wasn't in existence. That holy thing which shall be born of you is called the Son of God. And so here's a question. I heard somebody mention this tonight. What kind of woman was Mary that the great God of heaven could enter the world through her womb? What a holy woman she must have been. How God must have trusted her. God must have trusted her. She was going to have this child, and it was going to feed on her breast, and it was going to be in her arms for a long time. So you see how God trusted her. What I wonder if we are people like that, that God can trust. Listen, can God trust you with his Son? Can God trust you with his message? Can God trust you with the truth of Jesus in your heart? I will dwell in them. God says, I will dwell in them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what we have. Church fathers, they used to say, with respect, we are God carriers. And what they meant was, we carry God. Not just the message of God. We carry God. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life. He that has the Son has life. So you have the Son, you have life. But if you have not the Son of God, you have not life. So let's see what the angel said to Mary. That which conceived in you will be of the Holy Ghost. And what does Mary do? She pondered these things in her heart. She thought them over in her heart. She didn't rush out and start talking about it. She just quietly began to ponder and think over these things in her heart. You see the godliness of this woman. Now we know that there was nothing in her spirituality that was transmitted to Christ, because her deepest, most holy spirituality is still coming from the heart of a fallen creature. You remember when Mary was speaking to Elizabeth, she said, my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. Rejoiced in God my Savior. She knew she needed a Savior. My spirit has rejoiced. The angel said to her, A sword shall pierce through thy soul also. And so I'm saying this because some people think that there's something special about Mary. Mary was a very special person, but there was nothing spiritually special about her. There was nothing that was transmitted to Christ. All she gave to Jesus was her humanity without sin. And the reason why she didn't transmit sin to the Son of God was because the sin side of it, the reckoning, comes from the Father. The Father. Sin, in the sense of which we speak, this is why, to break the sin cycle, God had to enter the human race without a man. Without a man. Because man was in the transgression, Eve was in the transgression, but our sin is not in our flesh, like my hand hasn't sinned, but my hand sins when I tell it to. My hand sins when it obeys my wicked commandments. It sins, but the hand itself, I know I'm getting myself into hot water here because this is a very deep subject, and I shouldn't even be talking about it, to be honest. But seeing I've got this far, let me say it again. Nothing except humanity came to Christ through Mary. I want to make that very, very clear. So he said here, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So before he was born, no x-rays, the angel said she's going to have a son. That's what she's going to have. And you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had told him, and took unto him his wife, and carefully scripture here, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, just let me quickly say a few things about this. Not only did Mary have to bring the Savior into the world, but she had to protect him, as so did Joseph. He had to protect her. And you know the story, how they went to the city of Bethlehem, which the scriptures had said hundreds and hundreds of years before that that's where the Savior would come from. They went to the city of Bethlehem, and there they couldn't find a place for her to sleep or to have her baby. So they ended up in a stable, in a manger. You stop and think about this. Here's the Lord of glory, the Lord of glory, taking the lowest possible place, being born in a manger. Now, it's not like it is on the Christmas card. It wasn't like that. Cattle had been in there probably the same day. They just chased them out. The hay was there. Some of it was dirty. Some was clean. They had to kick it out. And all this is going on. How did she do it? Well, we don't know, but she did it. I'm not aware of any doctor being there, but she brought forth her son. And then, you know the story, Tony spoke of it, how the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they put the lights out. But here the lights are on again. And a wonderful thing is happening. angel choir is singing from heaven. Suddenly there was with the multitude a heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So God's message to you is peace. God's attitude to you is goodwill. He wants what's best for you. So now, heaven and earth are joined together. And so just let me say a few more things about this birth. The great God who made the world, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Holy Ghost breathed upon the matrix of the Virgin. And then that mysterious, wonderful thing, the child was conceived. And light came back. Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
That's who I am. I'm the light of the world. He. What else did he say? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a wonderful thing God did. And just be warned, and remember that though there were thousands of girls in Israel, God only visited one in this way. Though there's so many people in the world, God has given you a great privilege by letting you know his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So if you've heard his voice, that is a wonderful thing that God has done for you. Now, this he did. But it was more than that. You know that as he grew up, he was a carpenter. You know, the Jews, the way God raised up the Jews, that every man had to have a profession. He had to be able to work. And he had to be able to work usually with his hands. The Apostle Paul, great intellectual giant of a man, was a tent maker. He made tents. Jesus was a carpenter. So never be afraid of ordinary work you do with your hands. And so I can just imagine Jesus working in that carpenter's shop, and sometimes the sun would throw a shadow of a couple of pieces of wood lying there waiting to be dealt with, and would throw a cross on the wall. Because as you study the life of Jesus, you know that that cross was always in his mind. I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to go. And Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, put aside his garments and washed the disciples' feet. And all that wonderful thing that he did for a purpose. He came to die on the cross. And I want to say to you, with great respect, that the Lord Jesus being born into this world of the Virgin Mary cannot save the world. You can't be saved just because you believe in that. He dealt with sin at the cross of Calvary. That's where he dealt with sin. He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he was wounded for our transgressions, not for his own, because he never had any. He was bruised for our iniquities. And so you see this amazing and wonderful thing that he did at Calvary's cross. All the way through, when the men were nailing him to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." And you know, I think I've mentioned this before. I was praying one morning about this cross, and God spoke to my heart. And he just said a simple thing to me. So I preached it the following Sunday. And this is what I said to the people. I'll say it to you. There was a man that went home from Calvary that day. And his wife put the meal in front of him and sat down. And you know, he usually comes from all this terrible hard work of crucifying people, hungry. She put the food in front of him, and he didn't touch it. And she said, "What's the matter with you? Eat your dinner." He said, "I can't eat, wifey. I can't eat. You know, something happened to me today. You know what men do when you nail them to the cross? And it's my job to nail them to the cross. You know what they do? They curse your mother. They curse your father. They curse you. And they say all these terrible things to you. That's what all men do when you're nailing them to the cross. But today, we crucified a man. And he was saying nothing. And then he started to talk, and I couldn't hear what he was saying. So I put my ear by his mouth, and he was saying, 'Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.' And you know what the man said? He said, 'Wifey, I will never crucify another man. I'll never crucify another man,' after hearing that man say, 'Forgive them.' But I tell you that because that's why he came. If you haven't been forgiven your sins, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. You need to ask him to come into your life and change your heart. You need to ask him to help you get rid of your sin. You need to tell him you want to follow him with all your heart, and you don't want to be who you are and like you are. You want to be a different person. Tell him, 'I've been walking in darkness and I want to walk in the light. I want to walk with God.' Now that is the story of Christmas. That's why he came. He didn't come to get on a Christmas card. He didn't come to make people feel good. And yes, it's lovely to give gifts and all that. That's true, we do it. It started out because God so loved the world that he gave. And so we give things, and it makes us feel good, and so it should. But that's nothing. He came to save us. He came down from heaven's glory into this filthy world so he could take us back to heaven's glory. That's why he came. That's exactly what he came to do. He came to take us. And that's the truth. We're going to heaven. Amen.